Okay. This morning, let's just talk about handling cases. Nothing more and less. When you have a pre-clear in front of you, you have an object in front of you, which is composed of four separate parts, and which is not stringing a straight line between cause and effect. End of paragraph. That's what you got in front of you. You think you got anything else in front of you? You need some auditing. You got four separate parts, and he's not stringing a straight line between cause and effect. He is going and looking for cause. He is trying not to get effects. He goes all over the place, searching for cause. Everything is cause with me. And let's not be too much of an effect, huh? That's the agreement between you and me, you, my auditor, and me. We don't want me to be too much cause, huh? So the auditor's a nice fellow and doesn't let him be too much cause. Fact of the matter is, he doesn't let him be any more cause than is absolutely necessary to keep the gradient scale of cause coming up the line. An optimum session on a gradient scale of cause, well, you ask Preakler to be too much cause all of a sudden, and you give him failure. You ask him to be too much effect, and he kicks the bucket. You could almost monitor it that strongly. So you have a gradient scale you're trying to climb, which is get him to be as much cause as you can get him to be. And you have a gradient scale which you're running, getting to be as much effect as you can get him to be, with comfort. You say effect with comfort. Yes, if your pre-clear could blow up in the chair and spatter his brains all over the ceiling and the floor and be comfortable about it, you would have achieved a rather maximum effect. You also would have a clear. Now, I don't advise you to go about this in as rigorous fashion as that. But you'd better take a look at gradient scales and find out that we're trying to improve the considerations of a pre-clear. That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to improve his considerations. His considerations are that he can't, and he probably won't be able to, and you're trying to prove him up the line and get him into a situation where he can, and he will be able to. But he doesn't have to. And when you get him up the line to that point, you're there. Now, you got four separate parts. Supposing you were fixing let's get awfully mechanical. Supposing you were fixing a great big plant full of machinery. Tremendous plant full of machinery. And things kept breaking down in it one way or the other. And in the main, it's communication system in the form of the raw material in one end and the finished product out the other. It just wasn't communicating. And you had a fella who managed the whole plant. And you had a boiler system, and then you had the files in the office. And then you just had the brick building, you know, and the floor and so forth. And if you were an expert being called upon to do something about this, first thing you would learn is that the plant was breaking down all the time, the fellow would tell you. Well, now you got to take your choice. Now, you could go ahead and fix up the files if you want to, the office files. That'd be the reactive mind. You go ahead and fix them up if you want to. It's all right. You can get in, refile files for next few thousand years. And probably, who knows, You might even find a neglected order or something of the sort someplace in the files. You might. Of course, plan will keep on breaking down, but that's all right. You're interested in the files. But that wouldn't be efficient, would it? Now, let's supposing that we take a look at the gadgets that take the raw material on and turn it out into something, these machines. We find out that this machinery runs sometimes it doesn't, but nobody tells it when to turn on and off. It tells itself when to turn on and off, and this is very confusing because when they have a lot of rush orders, something like that, why the machinery turns itself off, and when they haven't got anything to do, why there it is down there running full blast. And this is not an optimum situation. And you could go ahead and repair this machinery if you wanted to and get it so it turned on and turned off at regular intervals, and it might only take you a few hundred years to get it in full shape, and you could take the parts out and scatter them all over the floor and so on. Or you could take the brick building and the concrete floor and decided it needed new coat paint and ought to be weatherproofed and ought to be sparked up one way or the other and swept out and cleaned up and so forth. But if you did any one of these three last things, you wouldn't increase the production of the plant worth a nickel, would you? What's wrong with a plant? Guy who runs the place, of course. What's the matter with you? Can't you see him? There he is. Somebody's running the place. It doesn't just all go off because some Yawa sneezed once. The popular superstition regarding this. I could be very vulgar on that score. We won't. What's the idea of avoiding the plant manager? In the first place, he's forgotten all about the machinery, but the funny part of it is he knew more about that class of machinery than you do. Or than you ever will. He built it. As far as the plant building is concerned, why, he's always in a condition where he could build another plant. He could build another plant. I mean, he just wouldn't even have to go out and buy one. And as far as the files are concerned, if this plant manager is so poor that he has to operate with the assistance of a file system, he's already bad off. It's like me in accounting in these various organizations. Everybody around thinks that they should run on what the accountant says, you know. And the accountant has large files, and gee's got invoices, and boy, he adds stuff up into books, and he adds them up into columns, and there's the debit credit side of the rebuttal, and, oh man, he has fun. Take another accountant to figure out what he was doing, and the two of them together wouldn't be accountants if they could run anything. It's like editors. There aren't any editors that aren't failed writers. If they were any good at the business, why, they'd be writing. They wouldn't be editing. It's like an accountant. If he was any good at business, he wouldn't be figuring with figures. Well, anyway, they keep throwing these files in. They expect you to go out and consult these things every time you make up your mind or something like that. All you got to do is take a look at the incoming mail, and you don't even have to read the letters. You just look at the incoming mail, and you see that it's going about 40 or 50 letters every mail. They're not all kicks. I mean, human life around doesn't average up into that. There's orders in there, various kinds, considerations. And you look around the office and you see how many people are working, and if people aren't working, why, you know you're not doing any business. And if they're not working just because they don't want to work, why you get somebody else. But you look and see if they've got work to do, and if they've got work to do, why they'll do it. And if they don't do it, then you get somebody else. A business is a very, very simple affair. It's only when the foundations were trying to run, you see, at a higher rate of business-like efficiency that they were in complete chaos. Everybody was consulting the files, you see, and going according to the communication system and the plan. Now, the funny part of all this is this is very, very, very like a pre-clear. the more involved he gets with the tremendous detail and arduous onerousness of living, why, the worse off he is. And when he's got to have super specialized communications of one kind or another, and he's got to have gimmicks whereby little red lights go bing. By the way, there are preclears around you, though, when they think a thought that's the right thought, they get a green light that goes flash. And when they think a thought that's a bad thought, why, they get a red light that goes bop, bop, bop. And there are preclears around, by the way, when they have a good plan, the field in front of their face goes white, and when they have a bad plan, it goes black. Who's doing it? Just like the plan, if you took the manager out of the joint, who is also the mechanic and all the personnel of the plant, if you just took him out, see, by golly, nothing would run at all. Everything would just quit right now. He's the only fellow putting any real juice into the lines. So this is your... this is your problem as an auditor, not to just belabor this thing to death. But you can see this clearly. You'll stop asking foolish questions about what you do about psychosomatic illnesses. That's repairing the machinery. You'll stop worrying about how to patch up somebody's beauty. That's fixing up the building and structure. And you'll sure as hell stop worrying about facsimiles if you realize that he's the guy that picks him up and pulls him up to his face. Nobody else does. There isn't a single other soul around. You could get out and look in all directions with a theta telescope, and you wouldn't be able to find anybody. Of course, one of the more gifted giants in the field of aberration is having a good time these days pulling thetans off people. But he's probably got them mixed up with a kind of lice, you know, that come up. But this fellow doesn't seem to be getting any place with cases. He can pull off lots of thetans and put them in his pocket or throw them away or tell them to go someplace. But the funny part of it is that nothing happens. The case doesn't change. Now, if you go ahead and process endlessly in the direction of repairing the files, patching up the machines, or fixing up the plant building, you can just go on processing endlessly. I guarantee it. Absolutely guarantee it. But if you just get that plant manager with a nap of the neck and you say, you know what? You have a little more ability than you're displaying lately. Your antipathy for effort is something I haven't seen since I was down south. And how about you taking your feet off the couch and rolling up your sleeves and just taking a look at all this stuff and take a look at anything you want to, but how about you personally just snapping too? Well, you got it. You got it. Therefore, those drills and activities which immediately improve the thetan are highly beneficial to the case. And those drills and activities which rearrange the files, as we know to our bitter experience, and those activities which patch up machinery, and those activities which simply put a new roof on the joint, are all more or less doomed. Now, every once in a while, you do find this kind of a condition. And therefore, you should recognize it. In order to get into the building and find the plant manager, you every once in a while have to get an acetylene torch or something of the sort and cut a hole in the door. You know, and get it unlocked. He's got it locked up. He's sitting in the central office of the point, and he's sitting there. And believe me, he's really sitting there. And once in a while, when you think you're processing the plant manager, and it turns out to be boiler number 3. And once in a while, you think you're getting answers But there's some activity going on whereby pieces of the file system are being dealt to you. That's all, just pieces of the file system. And in none of these cases, however, would you have to bear very long with the acetylene torch or boiler number 3 or the file cards. You wouldn't have to go very long on that. No, sir. Your activity in any direction, such as the repair of the body, repair of machinery, or repair of the file system, should be only of such duration as to let you introduce yourself to the plant manager. You don't go on endlessly processing machinery just because we can process machinery. You don't go on patching up the body just because we can patch the body up. And you don't go on shuffling the file system just because we can shuffle file systems. This is fun, but it's not effective. Now, that should be every auditor's medulla oblongata with a long white streamer. Be effective. That's all it takes. All right, what's wrong with this plant manager? In the first place, is he thinks he's a plant manager. That's the first thing that's wrong with him. He thinks he is supposed to be there running this thing. He thinks this is the end all of existence, and you really got it right there. He thinks this is what he ought to be doing. He ought to be running this plant. This plant manager is somebody who could do anything in any direction with considerable ability, but here he is nailed down to running this one plant. And it's a minor plant. It turns out one peanut every 3 weeks. And he complains to you about his disability. Well, his first disability is he's just running this one plant. First disability. First thing you can spot about him. All right, if you pop him out of his head and drill him a little bit, he'll recognize all of this himself. So you don't even have to tell him. Because funny thing about plant managers, boy, do they object to exterior information on which they have no reality. They don't like it. All right. So your job is simply to go through the most basic mechanics you can to get the guy 3 feet back of his head and in good shape. That's about that. Well, where do we get off, though, if this fellow won't be 3 feet back of his head? Well, you paid your money and you take your chance. It can be a very grim situation. He can either be momentarily pinned down in the plant, or he can be pinned there for some time with great thoroughness, with the machinery piled on top of him, with the roof caved in, and with the entire file catalog system dumped on his head. And you have to dig him out a little bit. Sometimes you have to take an axe situation. But in any event, you are improving the capabilities of one living item. You are not improving any other capability. You don't give a damn about repairing any other capability. There is no importance to it at all. The number of tricks which an auditor can do simply because he can process machinery, since he can refile the file system, and since he can fix up the building, make it possible for him to do these things for the plant manager and rather easily. But that isn't what he's supposed to be doing. Now, of course, if you get an auditor who himself is being plant manager third class and is himself mainly fixated on the idea of shuffling the file system, painting the roof, and patching up the machinery, you're liable to get a tremendous tacit consent between these two plant managers. You're liable to get it. But the fortunate part of it is, if you can give one of these plant managers directions as to how to get another one out, well, there's hope for both of them. This can happen. Actually, both of them could understand quite ably that that the guy was the thing, the Satan, not the bric-a-brac. And if they could see that clearly, why, they'd see very well. Okay. We have, then, the goal of the auditor as trying to get a plant manager into a condition where his considerations will be valid to him and where his orders will be obeyed without the use of energy. That requires that he be very well up in the form of communication, that he be able to locate himself easily in space and time. Whatever else he does is beside the point. If he can locate himself easily in space and time, and if he can deliver orders without the use of energy, you're in. I mean, you have no further trouble with this whole situation. He could be out on the golf links and having a good round of drinks, and by golly, he'd find that the body, the plant, and so forth would keep on running. In the first place, he could put his attention on a drink and a golf game and the plant all at the same time with no discomfort as far as he was concerned. Well, if we go very far in processing any preclear without establishing something like an exteriorization, we'd certainly better take a short hold on the reins on ourselves and look it over again from a standpoint of exteriorization. Exteriorization, of course, the basic of exteriorization is the basic of cause and effect. Scarcity of attention is one of the best characterizations of it. An inability to communicate is another characteristic of it. And a side characteristic, but not a mainline characteristic, is the fact that the individual cannot feel affection for or dislike things at will. And he can't agree, disagree, or make up his own mind independently at will. And as a result, why we have attention and ARC occupying the foremost rank in exteriorization. The next thing we have occupying it is the ability to handle commands, which is duplication. And next to that, we have the business of being problems and solutions. And the next to that, we have this problem of granting beingness. Now, however these things may range up in life, however these things may rack up in order of importance to any logical system, they rack up in a certain order of importance to an auditor. They might not rack up this way in life at all, but they sure do to an auditor. And how do these things look to an auditor? Well, in the first place, your auditor is immediately and instantly up against the problem of command. Instantly. Preclear walks in, he's up against the problem of command. He's also up against the problem of ARC. He's also up against the problem of attention. And these factors have a tendency to get in his road instantly. Well, how would he handle them? Well, he'd better handle them any way, shape, or form that he can as they come up. But there is an order. There is an order of arrival of these things. And the first order of arrival is normally found to be in the A part of the ARC triangle, affinity, like and dislike. And the R part of the ARC triangle. And these are about the first real points which an auditor contacts. He contacts almost simultaneously with this, the C part of the triangle, but actually not quite. He has to have in himself certain characteristics which make it possible for him to process people. So we don't get communication with the preclears being the first and foremost rank. We get affinity. Does he like people well enough to do anything for them? And the next to that, is he afraid of getting re-stimulated, which is to say, does he have fear of agreement and disagreement, which is the R part of the triangle. And on these two considerations, which are there before the preclear arrives, we then get the C characteristic on the arrival of the preclear. And we were actually getting communication with the Preakler. Up to that time, we had considered communication. See, we got a considered communication. Let's see, he's probably no good anyhow, and he's just a dog, and so forth. Actually, an auditor could think that about Preakler and probably produce results, but if he does, then he will be afraid of and may be re-stimulated by the Preakler. He may be afraid of being re-stimulated, and he may be re-stimulated by the Preakler. Doesn't like this Preakler. He can't do anything about it. He knows he shouldn't dislike Preakler this way, but Preakler keeps walking in and spitting, and he keeps objecting to it. And the more objection he gets to this thing, why, the more he'll fall off on his agreement-disagreement, which, of course, puts him into the re-stimulation. The whole subject of re-stimulation, lock, stock, and barrel, is right there on R. Reality, agreement, disagreement. An individual has gotten to the level that when somebody agrees with him, he is stuck with a reality. So he finds something wrong with Preakler's case, and by golly, it is wrong with the Preakler's case, and we get bing, bing, new reality. See this? We get a created reality on the mere fact of having found a couple of aberrations. And these aberrations are, of course, a reality. That's the most basic mechanism there is on it. Well, the whole subject of stimulation is there, and actually, affinity is what basically dictates the attitude on the part of the auditor toward the Preakler, and to a large degree monitors the response to the Preakler, monitors the amount of trust and confidence which the Preakler can have in it. But the actual fact of the matter is the calm lag of the Preakler may be such that it may be 5 days after the session when the Preakler receives the fact that the auditor really did like him, and it also might be 5 years if the auditor didn't do something for him. In other words, you've got a calm lag here. The Preakler may come to a consideration that the auditor doesn't dislike him or like him. He might come to some consideration on this immediately, but the chances are he won't. So the auditor is looking at somebody who hasn't yet settled his mind about the auditor and won't for some time. And it's just raw material, so it's really all up to the auditor. It's just the auditor. It's the auditor that monitors the session. Don't think otherwise. It is. Preakler doesn't have anything to do with it. He hasn't got a chance with a good auditor. The auditor sets up the A and the R with regard to the session and establishes C. And Preakler hasn't got a chance. That's a fact of the case. Now, auditors are good at this or they're bad at this. And they're bad at this when they themselves have a great deal of upset about whether or not they're going to get re-stimulated. That R doesn't stand for reality for them. It stands for re-stimulation. And they sit there fending off the Preakler, and of course they just never get into the case at all. There actually is no necromancy going on here, though. An auditor could sit there with a smile on his face and just hating the Preakler like mad down underneath and probably still do a good session. Just don't overstress the amount of, ethereal communication which goes on here. It's very easily overstressed. Now, attention comes in on things. Can the attention of the Preakler be put on the auditor at all? And when it can't be, you have psychosis. And when it can be a little bit, why, you have neurosis. And when it can be very, very well and so forth, why, you have a fellow who is going along normal course of human events, usually. When we get into the bracket of attention, we discover that the Preakler then is as bad off as he can put attention on the auditor. That is to say, pardon me, he's bad off inversely as he can put attention on the auditor. He is as well off, you could say, more correctly, than he can put attention on the auditor. And because his attention must be, quote, so scarce, unquote, that he can't put any attention on himself and the auditor at the same time. And we get it once in a while, Preakler complaining, they won't let me work. See? I mean, we've got a communication with the auditor. To communicate with the auditor would be one attention span. The communication with his own bank would be another attention span. And so we've got attention there as a problem, an immediate problem. And then command, is this fellow going to do what the auditor says? And that actually is fairly well down the line, as you can see. It follows after attention and ARC are all taken care of. And you get down there to a point where you can get a little attention, and you can put through a few orders today with the 30 and other things that we have, the pre-clear sunk. But you're getting right straight along there, and you're processing the plant manager. You actually could sit and run the pre-clear's facsimiles if you wanted to, but you wouldn't get him any place. You could also saw him up like the medical profession does, but yeah, it wouldn't get him any place either. And you could certainly patch up an awful lot of machinery and get him no place. Of course, every once in a while you can hit a machine that turns out to be the machine and not the pre-clear, and you can knock this machine out, but just in the interest of getting the pre-clear exteriorized and in good operating condition.